This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings. And no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. And when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Long Neck's outdoor patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. This baseball season, stay late, come often. All right, 29 minutes away from 6 o'clock. This is ESPN 1530. Over the last couple of years, whenever there have been matters of college sports and the business part of it, conference realignment a couple of years ago, the return of college sports during the peak of COVID, we have turned to Matt Brown, and I say this every single time, his newsletter. If you're interested in a lot of the nuts and bolts of college sports and the inner workings of things like contracts, television contracts, conference realignment and such, Matt's newsletter is an absolute must. He is a great Twitter follow at Matt Brown EP. He is as locked in and connected as anybody. And there's a lot of questions that many of us have in the wake of the news that UCLA and USC are off, set to bolt to the Big Ten. On short notice, Matt, I appreciate the time. Good afternoon. How surprising, because I'm sort of conditioned to not be surprised by anything when it comes to conference realignment, but this is a little bit jarring, admittedly. How surprising was today's news to you?
I'll be honest. I was extremely surprised. I am not shocked that USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 or that we wanted to look into testing the market. But just like with Texas and Oklahoma, the really shocking thing was the timing. The industry consensus, particularly in the Pac-12, was that, you know, this was not likely to happen this summer. This was a problem for one or two summers, maybe after the Pac-12 got more understanding of what they might be able to get on the open market for their conference deals. What makes this even more shocking, though, is who knifed who. Because throughout 100 years of college sports history, and even just a couple of months ago with the Alliance, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were supposed to be presenting a united front. Here we are. We are the last bulwarks against SEC, extravagance and excessive spending in college sports. And we stand for broad-based tradition and for the Rose Bowl. And we had this long commercial relationship with each other. And then Kevin Warren just took a kneecap to this league, and now we don't even know if the Pac-12 is going to exist. And that is, I mean, that's simply not how this industry is typically operated. So all of this, I will admit, very surprising to me.
All right, so let's try to look ahead. Let's start with the Big Ten, because everything that I've read over the last couple of hours has basically said the Big Ten's not done. So if they're not done, what's next?
That would be exactly the same thing that I have heard from me trying to text people and get caught up over the past couple of hours. There are a couple of places where they can go. The obvious number one candidate is now it's time to call Notre Dame again. Now, Notre Dame is contractually obligated to join the ACC if they join any other conference. And I am told that the exit fee to extricate themselves from that agreement is enormously expensive unless Notre Dame pulls out the rest of their sports from the ACC. If Notre Dame joins the Big Ten in all sports, pulling basketball and pulling everything else out of the ACC, it is still expensive, but then we're talking about tens of millions of dollars and not potentially hundreds of millions of dollars. And so that is something that would be at least financially possible, especially because now you can tell Notre Dame you get to continue your rivalries here with USC, and we'll see who else ends up getting, rolled into this. Maybe NBC becomes part of the Big Ten rights holders. Independent of Notre Dame, the other obvious choices here are, if you look at, hey, who fits the Big Ten institutional identity? AAU Research University, very strong athletic brand, maybe a flagship state university or an elite private school. Well, that's Washington, that's Stanford, and to a lesser extent, that's Oregon. And I've been able to pick up the past couple of hours is those are places where there will be other conversations. And if you're Oregon, if you're Washington, after seeing now your ability to get television money just get nuked, you've got to be working the phones right now too.
As you know, I'm sitting here in Cincinnati where a 10-year journey feels like it had come to an end with the University of Cincinnati joining the Big 12 and starting a year from tomorrow, right? And so now this wrench gets thrown into things. And you have a lot of UC supporters who are like, okay, what's this going to mean for the University of Cincinnati and the Big 12? Let's start with the Big 12 as a whole. Which what do they pick off the Pac-12 carcass, if any?
Well, part of that depends on who ends up sticking around. Because if Oregon and Washington and Stanford and Utah and everybody else ends up sticking together, the Pac-12 is going to be in a better financial position to pick from the Big 12 than the other way around. You've still got access to larger television markets, and you and larger brands. You're going to be able to make more more money, and maybe some of these schools that recently joined could be persuaded. But if you lose Washington, if you lose Oregon, I think if you lose anybody else, then I think you have to sit. I would imagine that both conferences are going to sit down and say, "Do we merge? Is there anybody that's in an appreciably better situation? Are there ways to work together rather than completely nuking this entire thing?" I think right now all of this stuff's on the table. It is happening very quickly, and a lot of ADs in both of those leagues did not know this was coming. So now it's, all right, let's go get the University General Counsel on the phone. Let's go figure out what we actually have. I will say this. This is a terrible time to be changing commissioners. And I think it's an especially terrible time to be changing commissioners to somebody who does not know college sports and does not know the institutions in any of this footprint. That is a gigantic hurdle to try to pick up here very early on.
All right. So for University of Cincinnati fans who are used to watching the school kind of be left on the outside looking in, what does the worst case scenario for them in the short term look like? Is there any scenario that you can see in which suddenly the Big 12 comes to them, they try to reach a settlement, we don't want you, we're looking at schools in the Pac-12, we're going to be a western part of the United States focused conference, and sorry, we know you were coming, you were set to go, but now that's not going to happen. Is any of that at all a realistic possibility?
I don't think that that's likely. Now, to be fair, I also didn't think it was likely that UCLA and USC would be voted into the Big Ten this evening, and so here we are, but it would really surprise me if the Pac-12, as it stands right now, mostly keeps it together and they're able to successfully lure, you know, Kansas and Oklahoma State or Texas Tech, whatever, and don't want Cincinnati. This is a school right now that through this journey of the last 25 years has built itself into an attractive property because you can say, look, hey, regardless of anybody else, we have a better football and men's basketball program like already established than a lot of what else is out there. We have a TV market that's not tiny, and unlike almost any of these other schools here in the Big 12, we also have a market that produces good football players. There are no recruits in Kansas. There are very few recruits in Oklahoma, and Cincinnati still produces really high-level football players. And so it would, you know, based on what I know right now, given it's been like 5.5 hours, I would be very shocked if the dust settles and somehow Cincinnati doesn't have a place to play.
Everybody has arrived at the same conclusion, that this takes us a couple of steps towards the inevitable formation of basically two super conferences. Let's say that's happening. A, when does it happen? And B, what does that look like?
You know, it's funny. I've written about this several times. I was really skeptical of that idea. And I was like, I think the exact line that I've used is that sounds more sports radio or sports Twitter than it does what I hear from sports administrators, right? Like, we still value autonomy. We still value flexibility and historical rivalries, and there's egos involved here. And maybe that happens down the line, but I mean, shoot, the NCAA Transformation Committee hasn't even finished their work yet. There's like a board meeting tomorrow about some of this stuff. So it seems premature. At this point, I think everything's on the table. Like, there's very few, like, you know, crazy scenarios that you could pitch that say, like, nah, there's no way that's happening. Because, you know, erring on the side of being conservative would have led you incorrectly, I think, over the last 2 years. Can you see a scenario where there's an ESPN conference and a Fox conference that's basically college football north and college football south, where you have the, you know, what's left of the ACC and the SEC and maybe some part of the Big 12 in one group and everybody else in another group? Yeah. That's the thing that can happen. Would it be good for fans? Would it be good for athletes? I don't think so. But that is the way that European soccer is going. It's the way South American soccer is going. It's the way other sports are going. Maybe that's just the most efficient financial model.
The idea of a shared geographic identity in a conference has long since gone out the window. You know, here in Cincinnati, Xavier's in the Big East, which stretches from Rhode Island to Omaha, Nebraska, and it touches Milwaukee. It's 2/3 of the United States. I understand that. But the idea that you're going to have a conference in which you have a school in New Jersey and then two in Los Angeles, I mean, I'm not the first person to mention this, but you're all right from a football perspective. That's one thing. You're going to have soccer matches on a Tuesday involving a team from, let's say, New Jersey, Piscataway, and now they're over in California. That, I don't know, for something in which you are constantly hearing about how the idea here is the overall health and well-being of the student athlete, that concept doesn't jibe. And then I just from a fan perspective in Los Angeles, right? The closest Big Ten school right now is currently constructed to L.A. is in Lincoln, Nebraska. You talk about this being good for fans. I just, there's a part of me that goes, all right, fine. The Pac-12 might not have been great, but there was some commonality there. Now, if you're a fan of either one of those schools, oh boy, get ready for a whole bunch of, I guess, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. starts because everything is going to be that much farther east. What do you say about that?
I mean, then, you know, not just that, but the other way around too. Like, sure. if you support an East Coast time zone program, and you're going to end up getting, you know, some 7, 8 p.m. local tip-offs or kickoffs to hit that late TV window, you're going to be staying up way past your bedtime if you want to go watch Maryland or Rutgers or Penn State athletics, which sucks. And, you know, the way other conferences have done this is they've expanded enough where you can do some kind of pod system. Or, you know, with you're limiting some of that travel. But the idea that anybody involved here cares at all about the college athlete experience or about, you know, limiting missed class time or injuries or any of those things, that went out the window with Maryland, Rutgers, and Nebraska. That went out the window when almost every power conference has a 1,500-mile trip in there somewhere. And so now, yeah, the flight from, like, New Jersey to Iceland is like the same now as it is going to be to Los Angeles. Like, it's beyond ridiculous at this point. You can maybe mitigate it a little bit if you end up adding like four other West Coast teams, but then it's still a shameless cash grab. Like, you know, part of me, I grew up in Ohio. I watched a lot of Big Ten sports. Will it be cool to see more Ohio State, USC, or Michigan, UCLA, or Big Ten teams in the Rose Bowl in the regular season? Yeah, that seems pretty cool. Is it going to make things a lot worse for the rest of the regular season and for viewing patterns and for actually going to be able to see games? Yeah. And that's unfortunate, but a lot of these decisions are not made with fans in mind.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Tell folks where they can find your newsletter.
You bet. You can find everything I'm publishing at extrapointsmb.com. I run a newsletter that covers the business of college athletics. It's funny. Spent the last like 2 weeks breaking a bunch of news about the EA Sports college football video game. I've been writing about things that are a lot more lighthearted than any of this, but gonna have to change that publishing schedule a little bit because we've got existential change coming to college sports, and that's a little bit of a bigger deal than trying to figure out what kind of songs Cincinnati is going to submit to EA Sports. But we'll get that up there too.
At Matt Brown EP on Twitter. I know we called you last minute, man. I appreciate you giving us some time. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no problem. Take care, my friend.
Matt's newsletter is an absolute must, and so you can check that out at Matt Brown EP, and again, extrapointsmb.com. It is 16 away from 6. This is ESPN 1530 Cincinnati Sports Station.
This baseball season, catch every pitch at Long Neck Sports Grill. Each location has 4K TVs, so you never miss a game. The menu is so extensive, you can get something different every time you visit. I love the wings, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. Locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a warm spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. Longneck Sports Grill, this baseball season, stay late, come often.